Paul, I hope you'll have patience with this method of contacting you so long after the conference in North Carolina. We have been busy in the business of theater and the ending of another year here. At least I'll offer that as an excuse for not getting word to you sooner about my feelings about the conference and about symphonic drama and questions concerning both. The conference disturbed me in many ways, and perhaps shook me out of a complacency concerning symphonic drama that probably developed because of a lack of contact with other producers who have worked constantly with the idea for many years. And to this point, I have something to say later in this letter. Since I returned to Alaska, I've been in somewhat of a turmoil of guilt for my arrogance with you and with the panel, too much of which I dominated. I've been confused also about the conference, which seemed to deal with three ideas, one of which was outdoor drama, which from some of the discussions appeared to me to include nearly anything produced out of doors. And another was symphonic drama, which was and still is to me an emerging dramatic form with high purpose and containing certain, though by no means rigidly arranged, artistic ingredients to be sounded together, as you've expressed it, in order that our human and national story can be played with a bigger and more meaningful sound. And the third thing that the conference appeared to deal with was building theaters. Third important thing. There were other aspects of the business management and a lot of other material that had nothing to do with symphonic drama, even though it may have had something to do with outdoor drama. When I arrived at the conference, I read again the purpose of the conference as stated in the brochure, which was, if I may quote from this thing, to create a real excitement and enthusiasm about the dramatic form which Paul Green originated in America with the Lost Colony. And I took note in the same statement of purpose that we must be about the business of stimulating new talent to carry on the movement. Well, with these ideas in mind, I approached the conference not as a playwright, because I'm not a playwright, but as one who for many reasons was a believer in the gentle force that you expressed so eloquently in the final session, in which I felt in the Lost Colony, whose dimensions would have been stunted in a Broadway house. Well, closed up in our often unsympathetic theater houses, we tend sometimes to become separated from each other, losing all the sense of fellowship in the experience of a story. And so often, I think, we sit alone in the theater and we feel alone and we respond alone and we leave the theater alone, seldom saying to ourselves that what has happened to us at that moment has made brothers of us in the shared courage and in the joy and in the weaknesses and in the strengths of the characters we've come to know, and in the poetry, and in the ultimate high purpose of the play. We're supposed to go out of the theater with a sense of liberation from having been given the opportunity to psychoanalyze ourselves on the dramatist's couch. I believe that there is a place for this kind of theater. But I cannot believe that it is the only truth of theater, which was strongly implied in some of the discussions and some of the corner conversations at the conference. After the initial panel on playwriting, I suddenly found myself defending the form, the point of which I thought I understood, that is, the form of symphonic drama, which I thought I had understood and which I had crudely tried to express as one not personally involved in the Carolina movement, but rather as one who, after more than 20 years away from the scene of its birth, found the idea still unique and disturbing and big enough and free enough to fulfill the efforts of all the poets who cared to write for it. A form which I felt was big enough to explore the direction of a nation and a way of life we call democracy, which I mentioned in a recent tape recording to Bill Trotman, in which I expressed a number of my feelings about symphonic drama as well as feelings about the conference in general. There may be some thoughts in the tape to Bill that might be of interest to you. I'm not certain. Bill may desire to share some of my thoughts with you. I don't know. But getting back to the form of a symphonic drama, it was my feeling that just as the poets must write dramas that examine the individual, that examine the person, that examine you and me as species of the human race, poets must also write for a bigger dimension of theater that examines the collections of people, that examines a nation, and that celebrates a nation's achievement or achievements by a critical drama that speaks of great decisions and the struggle that arrives at the truths of great decisions, that lifts us out of ourselves as individuals and shows us something bigger than ourselves and something that relates ourselves to other human beings who are reaching for the same sense of identification with the whole human race as an individual seeks to find or identify himself as a person so that he can live in this world, or should I say, live with himself. My feeling is that the modern dramatist does little relating of the human being to society or to the community or to the nation as a whole. But it is my feeling that just as there is a heart and psyche of an individual, there's a heart and psyche of a nation that can be served by the poets so that a direction can be given all of the liberated human beings who seem not to know that their own single pursuits in life are but a small part of a much greater and more significant pursuit that is related to all the other human beings around them, and which is crystallized in this day and age by the word nation or country or community, which appears to be lost in the institutional world we are moving toward. It is with this idea of the greater purpose of symphonic drama that kindled my interest many years ago when I first learned of the lost colony. This was before I asked for a fellowship to come to North Carolina with the express purpose of trying to get an understanding of your ideas. It was many years ago that I became excited about this business of symphonic drama, and filled with the thoughts in the little book, Dramatic Heritage, which you wrote, and the earlier expressions of the form of symphonic drama. It was with this excitement that I came to Carolina, and I was surprised that I was invited to this recent conference, and more surprised that I was put on a playwrights panel, because though I'm a firm believer in symphonic drama, I did not feel that I had as yet attempted to fulfill the form in my first try at the writing of a drama, which was written ostensibly for production out of doors. In my own work, I did not write of America's own history, but of a period that still resisted the democratic idea. My hero is a roughshod, though somewhat poetic soul, who loved his country and believed in the government in whose service he used himself up to be cast aside with cruelty and suspicion. He was really a true sourdough who had found his identity and fulfillment in this harsh and lonely frontier. I wrote of Alexander Baranov because he was to me the most exciting figure for dramatic treatment Alaska has yet produced. Washington Irving speaks of him in his book called Astoria. I wanted to say some things about him which were more sympathetic than most of the comments made about him by the historians. What I said I felt was essentially true, but I didn't say it in the form of a tight 2-hour drama. It took 3.5 hours and covered the high points of his entire Alaskan life. And when I wrote it, I was not ready to construct a smooth, tight play. I had first to pour out my feelings. And in the beginning, I had no intention of producing it. But then a certain summer seemed right for it, and people who knew that I was writing it encouraged me to put it together as a summer celebration after the flush of statehood. And there seemed to be a sense of history in the air then. And though the play, or pageant drama, I called it, dealt with pre-American Alaska, there was a feeling that in a big sense, these Russian people were our pioneers too, and that they were searching to find their way on this unfriendly earth here. And knowing that in the fullest sense, I was not fulfilling the original and basic concept of the symphonic drama. Nevertheless, I sounded together the music, the dance, and all the other sounds of life in that day in a huge episodic story that strangely held the audience and filled the theater every night. In fact, garnered the largest audiences of any kind of a performance in the history of Alaska. It was confusing to me because I knew how rough it was and how poor and glued together loosely were some of the scenes and transitions. But I did the Baranov story for another and perhaps lesser reason too. I wanted to try my hand at this story with such high dramatic potential before attempting anything dealing with the American period. I felt I needed to know whether or not I could put on paper and on the stage an acceptable story that would sympathetically affect an audience. And this, I found out, was possible even in the rough state that it was in when it was produced. However, at this point, I'm not exactly sure where to go. And after attending the conference and being so frustrated by not being able to hear your own comments, your own fulminating ideas about the emerging possibilities within the symphonic drama form, the possibilities that you hinted at several times but which you never had a chance to enlarge on, I suddenly felt the need to work closely with the symphonic drama at its best for at least a season or two. And I feel this because in odd snatches of conversation with you, and they were odd snatches because I hardly had a moment to speak with you, which made me feel badly because I wanted so much to talk with you about the form and the idea and your own feelings about what could be done with it. I got a glimpse, at least, of the excitement the form could yet provide, an excitement, a new movement of sound, and a brilliant styling of language and dance and thought, a new symphonizing of picture, color, and light, with song and dance and storytelling, enhanced and exploded by new electronic and visual techniques. And I could see the moving, lifting story completing itself without interruption, leaving an audience stirred up and yet emotionally satisfied. I could sense this, and I could sense that you, at least I felt that I could sense that you were moving in the direction of this kind of new experience for symphonic drama. And when I got back, I said to my wife that I'd do anything to work for a year near you and near the dramas, because I feel that I want to know more about what has been happening in the actual productions of the works there, and also I'd like to be on the scene during moments of inspiration and creative direction of a new symphonic drama. This is a terribly selfish consideration. It's something that I say not with the idea of being a person standing over your shoulder, but only as a person nearby to hear your ideas when and if you ever want to spill them. This is important to me because I embraced the idea of symphonic drama many years ago when I had this course under you called playwriting, in which you told me at the time that even though I had not completed a play, that somehow or other, these weren't your words, but that you would be happy if I'd found a point of departure. Well, I found that point of departure, and without any influence from North Carolina, I gave it birth up here in something that, though it was gangling, though it was filled with crudities, and though it was episodic and not a tight play, so affected the audience that they actually wrote letters all the way from California, people who had come here as visitors. They wrote letters telling us that what they had seen had more affected them than anything else they had seen in Alaska. This is all very strange to me because I don't know exactly what happened to them being so close to it. But somehow or other, I need to get closer to the idea of symphonic drama in some form. I'd like to work for a summer or two with one of the productions somewhere, doing anything, merely to observe. I need this information. I need the experience of watching what has been done because I've been removed from it for so long. In my tape to Bill that I referred to a little while back, I stated what I thought was the possibility for the use of symphonic drama in the future, to point a direction, another direction, a new direction for our democracy, so that we can determine whether or not our democracy is going to grow, and if not, what is needed to make it grow and to fulfill a much higher purpose than what appears occasionally to be a provincial purpose revealed in some of the political thought of our day, which seems to lack stature and statesmanship. In connection with my desire to work more closely with those who are in the process of producing the symphonic dramas, and to work in an area where occasionally I can get some ideas from you, I would like very much to apply to the Ford Foundation for a year's grant, both for research and for on-the-spot study and observation of symphonic drama. I know nothing about applying for grants, but I hope to do it anyway, and I hope that it would be amenable to you to use your name as a reference. It may not work, but at least I'm going to try, and I hope that the idea is not too disturbing to you, inasmuch as I mentioned that strictly at your convenience and according to your desires, I would like an occasional discussion with you. I have many, many ideas that I've gathered, not only from reading your own works, but from observing the other forms of theater and of producing theater for 17 years up here, and of coming gradually to the realization that we don't know what can be called the drama of our day, let alone the drama of our nation. And the more I see and the more I read, the more I find myself reaffirming the point of view I've had ever since 1938, a point of view that came from words like these, which I quote from your own work: "And just as in Greece her literary workers reinterpreted her heroes, just so it has seemed to me that we in this nation should seek to interpret and reinterpret, to dramatize and re-dramatize our heroes. For as we work to make them live again, so much more will they and our best virtues live in the lives of our children and the generations of the future, generations who in turn can reinterpret and re-dramatize them for their children. The struggle for our democracy, I think, was never more important than it is right now. And I feel that there are possibilities using the materials of the past to shed new light on the direction of our democracy today. It takes a play to clarify our direction sometimes. Certainly the editorial writers and the reporters and the novelists and even the historians can't do it so completely and so well for so many of the everyday people of our society. I hope you don't mind my quoting some other of your lines. You said, the play seems to make realistically and immediately an emotional impact, something of the tragic difficulties and near failure, and to celebrate some of the hard-won fruits of that fight, which was for a way of life for our democracy. Another thing you said, our democratic way of life now needs regenerating and revitalizing among us. Another quote, it is a matter of religion and service to that religion. You also said, I have come to believe that our American heritage, our way of life as an ideal, possesses the righteous reality of a true religion. And Paul, these are the thoughts that I've carried with me for 20 years, out of contact with you personally and out of contact with the movement in North Carolina. And I've carried them with me not in the sense of hero worshiping or of adulation for you, but rather as something profound and unique in theater, a theater for a nation, a theater that helps a nation examine itself. At the conference, when I listened to your protests about the design of the theater, the answer to which seemed so simple in Epidaurus, as we both know, and the jarring intermissions, I began to wonder what it was that really prevented your ideas from being carried out. And many thoughts in this regard have come to my mind, and they all point either to limitations in production techniques or failure to educate the audience. But being in ignorance of the realities of the productions, which I hope to make up for in the future if I'm successful in getting some kind of grant, I have no right to speak. However, I can't help but think that there can be a full statement in one great sounding and moving picture, the symphonic story you've referred to, that would so capture the imagination of the audience they wouldn't tolerate an interruption until it was over, at which time they could, as guests of the storytellers and other playmakers, have an intermission, actually not an intermission, but an end of the play session of communion, of sharing thoughts and food and drink and good fellowship in the discussion of the experience they had just had together, in somewhat the same way the Greeks shared the experiences of their playwrights. This is your idea, I feel, and perhaps it's too ideal to be practical. But I believe that if proper care were given to the preparation of the drama as well as the education of the audience for this experience, that it would work. I'd like to have the opportunity to help bring about such an experience in at least one new symphonic drama. I must say this among the last few remarks I'll make on this tape, and that is that and I may be wrong, Paul, but I felt that Houghton did little more than briefly restate a few of the old labels that identified the form of symphonic drama, labels that were referred to earlier in the discussions. In his summary, I'm talking about, I've since wondered why he did not give us his own reactions concerning the direction of symphonic drama that you have hinted at several times, and its relationship to the other forms of our American theater, and the message that it has to say to us today. At the risk of boring you with what you originated and what you know far better than the rest of us, I feel that we cannot ignore the ritual ceremony of it, nor its essentially religious roots. And I'm reiterating these thoughts that I had at North Carolina. We cannot ignore the responsibility for communion necessary to the purpose of the poetic drama. We must work to improve the poetic, spiritual, and dramatic beauty, both in the form and in the setting of the stories. We must not create an institution or a university hothouse for turning out strictly money-making tourist spectacles by mail order. I think they must be more than this. We must research and question our purpose constantly and examine the quality of what we do, even though it may mean pain for refusal to lend dignity to unworthy or dishonest efforts. We must work for national recognition and financial support without submitting to political coercion. We must adequately finance a group to do a full study of the purpose, effect, needs, and possibilities for the building of a solid and profound American symphonic drama program based upon your original ideas. We must find in the poetic purpose of all great drama the seeds of the fluid form and setting for the symphonic drama, which, as you've pointed out, is a sounding together of the many forms of celebration and religious ritual which are our heritage, both from Greece, Palestine, as well as from the dramatists, producing and performing artists of all ages since civilization began. These are my beliefs about symphonic drama and a few of my thoughts about the conference, and I may be way off the track in some of my reactions, and if so, I'd like to hear from you about them. I'd also like to hear from you as to your reaction to the possibility of my getting some kind of a grant and working down in that area for the double purpose of edifying myself about the form and about its future and about its potential, as well as attempting to build something that I can apply to this country, which is so fresh and yet so full of history that is usable in the form of symphonic drama. History that fits into the pattern of belief that I've held since 1938, and that is that in symphonic dramas, as in the lives of the brave ones whose song they sing, there is the, and I'll quote you here, the deep and human vision by which we claim to live. A vision perhaps only the symphonic drama can adequately interpret and reinterpret. I'll terminate this message now, and I'll merely say this, that I am deeply indebted for the opportunity of coming to the conference and of seeing you once again and of meeting your wonderful wife again and of exchanging thoughts with old friends. If there are any of these thoughts that you think might be of interest to Bill Trotman, just feel free to share them with him. He probably has all the reactions he needs by now to the conference, but there may be a thought or two that I failed to express in my tape to him. So if you desire to, if there's anything at all that might be usable, why, feel free to share it with him. And I hope that at some rare moment you might have a time to either cut me a tape or drop me a letter. I would really appreciate it. So I'll say so long now, and good luck in whatever you're doing.